Hello and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker, and on this episode, I'm going to talk to Sophie and Ephraim, founders of Ziggy Lloyd. And let me tell you all about Ziggy Lloyd from their website, which you can find, by the way, at ziggylloyd.com. And I'll tell this in the first person. To give you a quick summary, our coats are all made from premium alpaca wool, responsibly sourced from Peru. While the story of our materials start in South America, where we spent many years, our coats are made in small, limited edition batches in an atelier just outside of Lisbon, where we now live. One of the most special things about our collection is the quality of the materials and the way they feel. And while our styles are timeless and designed to last, we like to have fun and tell stories with the details, such as our personalized eco-friendly Tagua nut buttons that come from Ecuador and our exclusive lining prints in collaboration with artists. Okay, so you get the idea. That interview with Sophie and Ephraim to come. I really enjoyed speaking to these guys. We cover a lot of ground, from sourcing the alpaca wool and the obstacles that Sophie and Ephraim had to go through, and everything else in between, getting a brand off the ground, you know, the impact Brexit has on supply chains right now. But before we get to that interview, don't forget to check out the show notes at www.menswearstyle.co.uk and on the social at menswearstyle. If you want to tell us about your brand, come on the show and tell us about your journey, you can email us here at info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay! Let's get to it. This is a good one. I hope you enjoy it. Here is that interview with Sophie and Ephraim, founders of Ziggy Lloyd. Well, it's my great pleasure to introduce Sophie and Ephraim, founders of Ziggy Lloyd. How are we doing today, guys?
Doing well, thank you.
Doing well, thanks.
Excellent. Great to have you on the show. For the uninitiated, perhaps you can just introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about Ziggy Lloyd.
I'm Sophie and this is Ephraim, and we're husband and wife. We're currently now based in Lisbon, but we met in Argentina, where we both lived. I was living there for 8 years and Ephraim was living there for 5 years. My background is in fashion journalism and styling. And then when I moved to Argentina in Buenos Aires, I started a personal shopping business. Taking clients, kind of teaching, giving clients design experiences, taking them to the hidden kind of designer spots in Buenos Aires. And Ephraim's background is in finance.
Yep, I am a cog in the corporate machine.
yes. But you, yeah.
But so my background was I worked in finance for, you know, a long time, got a bit burnt out and just decided to move to Argentina. And that is where I met Soph. And that is where we bonded on our love for Malbec and for throwing costume parties. And this is, and that is kind of where the idea for Ziggy Lloyd.
We were living in Argentina, and we had an initial idea in, I guess it was 2017, and kind of the inspiration came from my business, actually, because I was taking clients shopping and showing them kind of the local craftsmanship and materials of not just Argentina, but all of South America. And people, I'd noticed a lot of clients were always really impressed by the quality of the kind of alpaca wool products that you could get there, because a lot of people would associate alpaca wool with those kind of itchy hippie like jumpers that you get when you go backpacking in Peru, but also there's some really beautiful kind of wools, particularly in Peru. So we're kind of inspired by that material and decided that we wanted to kind of work on something together.
Tell me about, you had the idea, so 2017, what are the next stepping stones once you have the idea? Where do you take the idea next?
So we were just kind of playing around with ideas about what we could do with the material. Ephraim, you know, had always had a real interest in fashion, even though he came from a finance background. We initially met because I took him on a shopping tour, a shopping trip.
I got her to take me shopping. That was my
shopper. but yeah, and then we kind of were thinking about things that we could do, and Ephraim, one thing that Ephraim loves is coats.
Selfishly, you know, I wanted to start a coat brand because I wanted lots of cool coats.
I'm so, with you on that. That's a cool move. I like that.
And we, you know, we noticed, you know, that there's a lot of brands out there. You know, kids wear brands, and some women's wear brands working with kind of alpaca wool, doing a lot of knitwear and stuff. There were less brands in the menswear field working specifically with that kind of fabric. So we decided to go to Peru and Bolivia and try to find the best alpaca wool that we could, and go exploring and learn about how it's done. And we
traveled through Peru to find suppliers, which was really cool. It was cool, you know, doing meetings in Spanish and trying to figure out, you know, who were the suppliers. And so we traveled through Peru, and then we went down into Bolivia, and we found surprisingly, there's a big tailoring trade in La Paz. So we had sketched out some prototypes, and we found a tailor in La Paz, and he made us some prototypes. And so we brought him back to Buenos Aires, and that was kind of the genesis.
Interesting. And so this prototype, are these designs that you've put together, Sophie? Did you have something in mind already with the coats?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of had an idea of kind of two or three at the time basic models that we wanted to do. We wanted to do like a classic overcoat and then a bomber jacket and then more of a kind of military style jacket. So yeah, we kind of sketched out some designs, and yeah, we just, because we'd already been in Peru at that point, and we'd bought some fabric, some kind of sampled fabric from one of the suppliers that we found there that we really liked. And then we took it with us to Bolivia to this tailor and asked him to, it was this really tiny little family run operation, just a guy and his brother, a really, really lovely old guy. But I mean, the kind of craftsmanship was really amazing. Anyway, he did a great job on these first samples that we did. So then initially we were thinking that, you know, we'd like to kind of work with the tailors in Bolivia, but the quality of the alpaca wool was better in Peru. The kind of the type of alpaca wool fabric that we were working with to make a coat, which is a kind of a tightly woven fabric. You find a lot of alpaca wool for kind of knitwear in Bolivia, but less so, but the specific material we needed was made in Peru. Originally we were going to make the coats in Bolivia, but
it's absolutely impossible to run a business in South America. So like trying to ship the fabric to Bolivia was a total disaster and a nightmare because of all the corruption and red tape. And
I mean, you'd think it would be easy to send fabric from Peru to Bolivia because the countries are right next to each other, but we ended up having,
it's not.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So our initial kind of order, we'd agreed with this guy that he was going to make us a very small trial order of some coats, we ordered some fabric from Peru, and then it was stuck in Bolivia in customs for
a very long time.
And this must be quite disheartening, because you've got the idea, you've got the prototypes, and you're kind of just wanting to get things off the ground, right? But then this is where the red tape comes in. And so how did you overcome this? I guess just moving production elsewhere, right?
Well, we didn't. I mean, we never got that fabric out. We just
it's still there.
To this day, there is a roll of fabric in a Bolivian's custom office. Some guy
is probably using it to keep himself.
He's making his own suit out of it.
That's great.
What I really like having a look on the website, which people should go to, by the way, after they listen to this podcast, is ziggylloyd.com to have a look at some of the garments there. You mentioned the bomber early on. I don't think I've seen too many of like the casual jackets made out of alpaca. Maybe I haven't been looking hard enough. Is this something that you also thought, that you'll make some unique garments out of this?
Yeah, we wanted to kind of mix it up and come up with some more kind of contemporary styles. And you know, you don't often see bomber jackets in kind of wool like that. So we
and they're usually pretty casual. We wanted to take like, you know, a normally casual coat and take it pretty, make it pretty luxed, you know?
Because yeah. The kind of the wool is very, I mean, it feels beautiful. It's the magic of it really is in the feel, and people are always amazed when they put on the coats, the way they feel and the way the wool feels. It, I mean, it's very, very soft and it's also very, very warm. But then it kind of wears a little bit better than kind of cashmere, for example.
So
we tried to kind of incorporate some kind of more, you know, interesting kind of modern designs in there. And then also the other details that we like to have fun with as well. So kind of doing very classic, kind of quite classic models, timeless models, but then playing around with some of the details, introducing new colors. So our buttons, for example, I mean, every detail kind of has a story behind it. So we have the story of the alpaca wool, and then our buttons are all made from the tagua nut. So that all comes from, we found a supplier in Ecuador that works with kind of local artisans. And it's a very sustainable process, but the nuts fall from the tree and they're collected and then they're kind of chopped and carved into buttons. And then we have our Ziggy Lloyd stamp put on the buttons, but we've got some wow. fun colors. And then we also have a kind of lining print that features just on the inner side panels of the coat. And so our idea with that is to do, because we only produce kind of very small batch collections anyway. And so with each new kind of collection, maybe every year, we're going to work with different artists on the kind of lining print. So the one we did recently was with a Portuguese street artist who from Porto in the north of Portugal. We came across his street art and found him on Instagram and then contacted him to see if he'd be interested in designing a print for us. So he'd never done that before, so he was really excited about
it. But yeah, it was cool because we were drawn to, like, he's very like geometric shapes and all that, and we were really drawn to that. And yeah, it was really cool working with him to like come up with like a Ziggy Lloyd pattern.
That's cool. I love the linings. I think it's in the one that the Duke with the library, almost like the end papers in that,
right? Yeah. That was our first one. We wanted to do like a gentleman's bookshelf.
Yeah.
So we actually worked with a London artist on that one.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
And is that the plan going forward, that each different garment will have perhaps a different collaboration with another artist, or is this just something that you...
Yeah, so each kind of small batch collection that we do, we want to collaborate with a different kind of artist and to have some kind of artwork in there. I mean, it only kind of features in the side panels as well rather than in the whole jacket. But yeah, that's the kind of idea going forward. So
it adds a real sense of, I don't know, individualism, but also a lot of, you can tell there's a lot of passion that's gone into this, because there's craft that you guys are doing behind the scene with the designs and the sourcing of the fabrics and making it new. But there's also somebody else's ideas and their work, you know, that you're not going to find anywhere else. So I do like the idea of having something that you just know that not many other people are going to have, or they're going to look and go, what is that? Where did you get that?
Yeah, and just the kind of idea we want to make, have people appreciate kind of there's a story behind every detail and kind of appreciate the value and the work that's gone into every coat, and that, you know, kind of justify the price too, because it is a high end garment. So.
Well, I looked at the pricing on the website, and I actually got to tell you, I think it's quite accessible for what the garments are. I mean, I thought, after, because I kind of went through it backwards. I read the story, I saw the press release, and checked out all the alpacas in Peru, got the girlfriend in because she loves alpacas, and then went on to the garments and had a look at the prices. And I thought they were actually quite modest compared to knowing how much
went in.
There's definitely other brands that go much higher, but we're just starting out, and so
we're still trying to raise brand awareness, and so make ourselves reasonably accessible. And but no, alpacas are really cute. They're so tame as well. They're really, really tame animals. Like, it's quite amazing. But one thing I always like to mention, because sometimes people, because we work with baby alpaca fabric, some people wonder why it's called baby alpaca, and it's nothing to do with baby alpacas. There's no baby alpacas harmed in the process. It's just a classification of the wool. So.
Right. Okay. And maybe just touch upon the sustainability and the kind of ethical way that you will source these as well. Maybe you can touch upon that for us.
Sure. Yeah. Obviously sustainability is important to us. That was kind of one of the things that we wanted to build a brand with a conscience. All of our materials, we try to be as sustainable as possible. So for example, alpaca, alpacas are shorn once a year, and, it's good for the alpacas. It prevents heat stress, and it's good for their health, and it provides income to local alpaca farmers. What was I going to say? Our buttons, come from the tagua nut. They're coming from a tree. Our packaging is recycled paper. We're doing small batch collections, so we don't have a lot of excess stock. We're just starting out, but we're looking into ways to upcycle. So,
we recently made some of the leftover fabric we had from the recent collection we've made into some small gilets for babies.
Oh, nice.
We've made a few for our daughter.
For the stylish babies.
Yeah.
What about dogs? Can we get something going for the dogs?
We've thought about that.
We also have a dog, so we've thought about that too, that we like. But yeah, we definitely want to find ways of, reusing material and, excess stock we have, or the kind of prototypes, kind of reworking with some of the materials and fabrics, and so that we're not wasting.
Yeah. That's great. You've got to tell me how Brexit has now impacted you guys, or if at all. I mean, we've got lockdown here in London now, again, lockdown free. So maybe you can talk about a little bit of the business and the supply chains, and if that's been affected at all.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
So Brexit, we are still working through. So far, it has meant a lot more paperwork for us. It has meant, kind of filling out different VAT stuff and talking to our accountant more often. And I don't know how much it has impacted sales. Obviously, COVID impacted sales a lot. But mostly Brexit is just, it's more of a headache. It's more red tape. And it's not favorable to our business.
So. Right. Because, I mean, I heard that, I mean, it's about 1200 pages anyway of a document that no one's going to thumb through in a week. I mean, some politicians may have had a look at it over the Christmas break, but that was about it. The real people that are dipping their bread in all this is the consulting agencies, the people that you will have to go to and go, look, how do I get through this? You kind of farm the work out to them, and then that affects bottom lines and profit margins. So it's tough as well, because I think in Britain, if you wanted to sell something or export something, then you have to make sure that everything's been British made. So for example, if there's like a doll that has everything that's been made in Britain, but we've sourced the eyes from China or something, then we have to fill out another form, or we have to pay another tax on top of that. I don't know the full ins and outs, but I mean, this was just some of the little things, like the fine print that you'll have to now have to thumb through. So I can imagine just now it's a nightmare for you guys.
Fortunately, we're not shipping from England, we're shipping from Portugal, so that's all the export stuff with the UK
it's just more work, it's more headache, it's more stuff to learn and figure out. more of a maze to
another stepping stone on the journey, at least.
Exactly.
And obviously, we launched last year, and we did our first, so we launched at the end of last beginning of last year, beginning of 2020, towards the end of the winter season, we did kind of a, we launched a few pieces and we did a test kind of pop-up event, because we're mostly a director, we are a director consumer brand, and we're only selling online. But then we also, our idea was to kind of host these series of kind of pop-up soirees for like men, so bringing men together in kind of an invite only kind of event where kind of in secret locations. So our first one we did in London, and we did it in a kind of studio apartment in like a living room setting. So guys can kind of come, sit down, have a drink, listen to a really good playlist, and then also kind of shop for coats. And because men don't like to feel the pressure when they shop too, so we kind of wanted to create a relaxed environment where we could bring kind of like-minded guys together. And so we did this initial event, and it was last February, just before.
It was right before COVID hit. Yeah. the timing, we lucked out.
Snuck in.
Yeah. I mean, we had some great cocktails, really nice wine. I mean, it was a perfect, you know, it went really well. We got a lot of really positive feedback from, it was really nice just to meet people in person and for people to actually touch and feel the coats and really understand, you know, what we're doing. And we had really, really positive feedback. And from there, we were kind of really excited about, you know, our plan was to do more of those events, you know, this past, you know, starting last autumn.
And put that on hold.
could we not do it virtually? I mean, you can squeeze about 20 dudes into a Zoom call and we'll talk some comics and clothes.
So what we did instead in the end was we put together this really nice lookbook. I think we sent you the digital version, but we've been sending it out to people through the post with like fabric samples in, so kind of people can touch and feel. And the idea is they can experience the collection from their living room. But obviously, it's not quite the same thing. Yeah. But once the world kind of returns to normal a bit more, then we'd like to, you know, take up that idea again and carry on doing
it. Yeah. Events.
I mean, COVID in general, just no one wants to buy a coat when they're all stuck inside. It's not the easiest.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We've still got to go out and walk our dogs.
It's true.
Freezing in London. And by the way, the winters in London, it's not just December and January.
Last week it was awful. Yeah, it was really cold.
I could not handle it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, from your mouth to my girlfriend's ears, she's from Texas. So, Russia originally, but Texas. So she knows how damaging and punishing these winters in the UK
are. Well, the alpaca wool coats are really warm, though. I mean, it's a really warm.
Luckily, we run a coat company.
Yeah, luckily we have.
Yeah,
I've made myself one as well. So,
and I think the thing about alpaca is, for me, it looks like a very tactile fabric. It looks like something you want to touch. Like I remember, I had a meeting with a gentleman who was a tailor, and he was wearing an alpaca suit, and I've not seen anything quite like it before. He looked the absolute nuts in it, and it's one of these things that you have to kind of go, oh, where is it? Because it's not your typical wool to even look at. It has kind of like almost like a fleecy look. I think it's you'll probably tell me in the way it's fine combed. So have you got any other plans to take it outside of coats, maybe pants, trousers and suits in the long run? Have you thought that far ahead?
I mean, right now I think we just want to focus on kind of one item and do it really well. And kind of
we have considered dressing gowns.
Yeah.
Oh, good move.
Yeah. Like a house coat. Yeah, like a luxury dressing gown.
Now
that's
the men's club that I'd like to go to. All of us in our dressing gowns, monogrammed, talking Bond, and enjoying some alpaca. Yeah. Well, guys.
But for now, we're sticking with kind of just that.
Well, listen, congratulations. I think the products look fantastic. I really like how, you know, the designs are just modern and each one is different, you know, and it's not just kind of top coats and overcoats. There's different styles of coats as well. So something for everyone to check out. And the colors work really well. Is it quite an easy fabric to manipulate, Sophie? Is it something that you can do a lot with in terms of manipulating it?
In terms of... kind of what do you mean exactly?
So like in terms of if you just have like the roll of alpaca, can you like mold it to someone's shape quite easily, or is it quite a rigid thing and then you have to kind of squeeze it?
No, it's quite a soft kind of malleable kind of fabric. It's not too structured, so it's kind of quite easy to kind of create different shapes and mold it around the body.
Interesting because I did a fashion design course, and I've always I had to do a thing where which is your best, like you say, malleable fabric that you can use, and I was trying all sorts of weird stuff. I had to make a skirt out of recycled plastic bags and shape them and contort them. Yeah. And I was like, this is horrible. There's professionals out there that can do this. I don't have to do this. That was a waste of time. But anyway.
Well, that was another problem that we had in Portugal, actually, when we first looking, because now we manufacture, we make everything in Portugal. And when we first moved here from Argentina, we had problems trying to find the right person to make the coats here, who was familiar with working with the fabric as well. Didn't really know. We found we just work with a small atelier just outside of Lisbon now, so which is great because we can both regularly visit, and there's no big, it's a very small atelier, just a small team of kind of tailors, so we don't have big minimum order quantities or anything like that, so it works really well for us.
Okay, well, that sounds good. And they're known for doing some really good produce in Portugal. I mean, shoes especially. I speak to a lot of brands and spokespeople that, you know, they try doing different garments and shoes everywhere else in the world, and they go, look, we've tried it. We just always come back to Portugal because they know what they're doing there. And I wonder if it's especially good for startups as well. That's probably why a lot of brands in the UK go to Portugal for their initial ideas and get it off the ground there.
There's a lot of companies. Yeah, there's a lot of places that are willing to cater to smaller startups. But then there's also a lot of big in Porto in the north. There's a huge, big manufacturing hub that have big, huge minimum order quantities as well.
Yeah.
Well, guys, it's been a real pleasure talking to you and getting to know you guys and the brand as well. Like I say, I think you've got a great load of coats on the website, and people again can visit ziggyloyd.com. So where does the Ziggy come from?
That is a good question. So the name, most people think that it is just named after our dog, because our dog is named Ziggy, and I'm obviously a David Bowie fan. The name came from, basically, we wanted to do classic with a twist. So Lloyd is Sophie's last name, so that's kind of the classic, you know, sophisticated a la Lloyd's Bank. And then you have Ziggy, which is like the twist. So we wanted to make a coat that Ziggy Stardust could wear to work at Lloyd's Bank.
Nice. I was going to say, it's a good tagline for the poster. I can almost see the Ziggy Lloyd film with that tagline.
Yeah, my family have nothing to do with Lloyd's Bank, though.
Just Lloyd's gym. I got it.
Lloyd's gym, or Lloyd's tennis club, or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. The tennis club. Well, great talking to you guys, and best of luck.
Thank you.
And stay safe over there, and I hope to see you in London for a gentleman's club soon.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Great.
Well, how about that? As you can appreciate, I could have talked to Sophie and Ephraim for hours, mainly about my failed attempts to make dresses out of carrier bags and, well, numerous failed design ideas, let's face it. They say the worse of the experience, the better the story. I don't know in my case, but perhaps I'll tell you more about that another time, another place. In the meantime, make sure you're supporting the good guys and head over to ziggyloyd.com and treat yourself or your loved ones some awesome high quality alpaca coats. That's it from my end. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you're hearing, do leave us a review. It helps our egos around here, and until next time.